Bajan.
We're very sorry. I was having problems. I don't know whether it was network. Jabu was assisting me. I've been trying since 8:30, but seeming now I'm fine. Honorable members, our guests who are with us today. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you, and I want that we must be aware that this week is a child protection week, and the theme of that is creating a society that prioritizes the rights and dignity of our children. I've tried to outline what is it, but when I'm looking at the agenda, my opening remarks, they are too long when I prepared them. So I'm just noting that my child is your child, and as leaders, we need to conscientize our communities about that, in order that even our own children, they must know that when they are seeing mother, mama, beauty, whilst I'm not their biological mother, they must know, we must teach them that every parent is their parents. I'm taking this opportunity because we've been having this problem of women, but also child abuse. We've seen yesterday in Lusikisiki, where the Department of Social Development was there. I'm remembering whilst I was still in the NCOP, I was chairing the committee, multi-departments caucus, when we were having a problem of visiting all provinces to launch that sector or the committee of multi-departments caucus through legislatures, district municipality. So that's how it did come about that today we are seeing us having this multi-department caucus in our provinces. I've noticed then, I even invited the same area of the children who were abused, running from school, from homes. There was this Ukuthwala, that program that we started to call every communities, the chiefs. And we did invite those young kids, 10, 13, 14, to come to Parliament to testify. But until today, we still seeing those things. How can being parents seeing a 10-year-old, 12-year-old being carrying another kid? This is not on. We need to go back to basics. During our constituents, we can invite through our interaction in our constituents, having programs, to invite to have a program of addressing this thing with the communities where we have chiefs, that we must call again chiefs and communities to look at this horrible issue. I'm taking this opportunity knowing that today we have invited the very important entity that we know about education and the rest, the reading and writing, it's one of those very important things. I did try to scribble something, but in a way it's too long. So we are aware that we are here today. And can I give it to Ujabu? Whilst I do have an apology of a minister, I'm suspecting everyone they are aware what the executive is doing as from yesterday to Limpopo. But I'll give Ujabu to present the apology of minister and deputy minister official. Jabu.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Chairperson, we have an apology from the minister. He's attending the presidential economic retreat in Limpopo. And we also have an apology from the PM, who has taken ill and she'll be visiting the doctor today. So those are the two apologies, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any member of the committee has got an apology?
Notification that there's an urgent meeting that myself and Member Veronica, and I'm sure Member Sepo have to attend, and it starts at 12 o'clock today. We'll leave earlier today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah. Now, thank you so much about that. I was about to tell the members that at 12:30, members will be leaving wherever they are, it's either in parks or in their homes. We need to take care of that. Thank you, Honorable Dennis. Honorable members, I'm putting the agenda. Whilst I'm welcoming our visitors, they will introduce themselves when we're giving them the chance to do that. I'm welcoming our department, our staff, both of department and of our committee. I'm proposing this agenda in front of you, honorable members. Honorable, who's Mandy?
It's me, Chairperson.
Okay.
Just to show myself. I'm just connecting with the last part, Chairperson. Apologies when you are greeting the department. Greetings to the Chairperson and greetings to everyone, honorable members and staff members on the platform. I just want to alert the committee members through the Chairperson that for the department today, I'm the leader of the delegation. Minister and DM are on cabinet engagements, and the DGs have also been called in La Bella. So just for the members to be aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mandy. You are leading the department. Honorable Sondi. Honorable Sondi.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning to
I'm not a chairman. I'm not chairman. I forgive you.
Thank you. I propose for the commission of the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Sondi. Honorable Malomani.
Greetings to everyone. Chair, I second Honorable Bondi to move for the adoption of the agenda.
Your network is very bad. You must try to check on that. Honorable members, the agenda has been adopted. Now let me take this opportunity to give acting DG Mandisa to do the overview of the department. I thank you.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Chair, I've just got a user here in the meeting, and I don't know who it is, but they've been coming in and out. It's a user 101059. If they can indicate who they are, because I believe they're from the NLSA, or I have to remove them again from the meeting, Chair.
Yes, thank you for that. Anyone who can testify on who is that person?
No, thanks. Thanks, Chair. It's KP Madumo, the CEO of the National Library. I've been trying to rename the number, but it doesn't allow me. Perhaps if the host
show your face. Show your face.
Thanks, Chair. I was saying I'm KP Madumo. I was trying to rename. It doesn't allow me. I would request if the host can do it on my behalf from his side. I don't have the right, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, let's accept that we've seen him. We must notify if it's not allowing until at the end. At least Jabu and the members were fine now. Acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm requesting Secretariat to assist me with the loading of the presentation, if that's possible.
Are you alone? You didn't introduce who else is in here. Are you alone to
thank you? Thanks, Chairperson. I just needed to make sure first that that is happening whilst I'm talking. Okay. I'm together with Mr. Tanyane, who is under Entities Management Director. I'm also with Mr. Bulengekana, who is the Director under Libraries Management. I also have Ms. Nokubonga Martha Ramalepe, who is in the Office of the DG. Also saw Ms. Nonsukelelo Bagwa, as well from the ministry. I saw Mr. Watani in the office of the deputy minister. Those are the people, Chairperson, I'm able to recognize with me at the time being. Thank you all. Here is Mr. Ludwig as well. Thank you. Okay, in the office of the DG. Thank you once again. Greetings to all the honorable members. The presentation, of course, is a presentation that I am leading, but it will be followed up by the presentation from the National Library of South Africa. The chairperson, Ms. Mabaso, is around, as well as the CEO that we've already seen. Leading the presentation, I'll go to the next slide just to give the members a sense of what our combined presentations are going to take the members through. We are going to take the members through the mandate of the organization, performance issues, financial and non-financial, audit outcome issues and other governance related matters. As department, we will also just flag some of the things that have come to our attention that needed attention by the board, and the board is looking at those things. And we'll also go into just an indication about some challenges that have been experienced by the library, especially challenges of vandalism of the property. And of course, this is framing the presentation that will also follow with more detail from the National Library of South Africa. objectives of the library, of course, are to contribute to social economic gains of the country, contributing with the library material and other artifacts in terms of custody of artifacts that contribute to cultural knowledge, educational knowledge, as well as scientific and innovative research. So the library has the responsibility of collecting, recording and preserving all these assets, making sure that there is a documentation of our heritage and there is promotion thereof, making people around the country to appreciate what the country has in terms of the heritage in assets, in the sense of what has to be preserved in the form as well of what is kept as part of literature material. Thank you. Going to the next slide, just to catch on highlights in terms of the performance of the organization, its performance that has been standing at about 76% from the previous year into the year that we are reporting on. We can proceed. For financial allocations, the library has not been saved from some budget cuts. Their budget baseline allocation has been 133 million in the year that we are reporting on. And of course, we can see that between the 2 years, 2021-22 and into this year, there is a gradual decline. And this decline is not of anything punitive to them by the department. It's just an application by percentage of the budget cuts that the department also experiences. In terms of infrastructure, that amount where we are not showing an allocation in 2021-22, that was just our contribution to them to enable them to manage paying for their utility bills in terms of municipal leases and utility bills. Audit outcomes, we have been experiencing challenges as the National Library with regard to compliance with the GRAP standard. I think this is something that the library would have to find a way of seeking external expertise to assist them in it before it becomes an issue of disclaimer from AG. But this has impacted greatly on their ability to satisfy AG with a record that enables them to confirm the opening balances and closing balances for the heritage assets. Therefore, AG has not been able to determine adjustments that are needed in their financials linked to their disclosures in terms of their notes under asset reports. Can continue. Then moving to this slide, just talking to the composition of the board. The board is fully constituted, and as I have mentioned, under the chairperson of Mayor Mabaso, and it's as well a board that is combining the necessary skills we can, and even in terms of gender balance, we are at least fairly balanced in the composition of the board. Continue. Oversight activities, number of council meetings, there hasn't been nothing that is in surplus compared to prior year. Business of the board has been as usual. Council meetings and committee meetings of the board, compared to the prior year, the board has standardized back to what is standard and normal for board sittings and committee meetings sittings. attendance. The board members have shown a good record in terms of attendance of their meetings, and as well as engagement meetings between management and staff. We have been able to manage that very well. The number of management meetings has increased. We will also see in the report later that there have been a couple of issues around management that the board has been dealing with. And then the participation of the library in other broader portfolio engagement forums. It is part of the Heritage Sector Forum, and it has been participating in the forum meetings that are set. It's also part of the CEO's forum, and CEO's forum that is led by the DG, as well as the chairperson's forum led by the minister, and the entity has been participating in these structures well. Executive management, it is under the leadership of the CEO, Mr. Madumo, the executive management team, and there have been some movements that will be explained when I talk to the areas of HR that touch on the corporate services areas where there are acting arrangements. Yes. Otherwise, there are no gaps in the composition of the executive management, because where there are gaps, there have been provisions for people to hold the reins in those areas. Staff composition, it's an entity with 440 staff complement, and in terms of the racial and gender balance. Gender balance is of good standing, and of course racial balance as well. It's fairly representative of the country's racial demographics. Can continue. Touching on the challenge areas that I spoke of, we have received as the department some complaints. These are complaints that are dating back some time with regards to the human resources manager. Complaints were received and referred back to the board, but as it is now, the board resolved the matter, concluded the matter, and the human resources manager is no longer within the organization. And then there have been subsequent allegations relating, or actually there has been a link between the two. Whistleblowing around the human resources manager, whistleblowing around the company secretary, and the secretary also resigned whilst the matter with the human resources management was also being dealt with. So though that issue is closed on that note of termination of the contract relationship and resignations. In terms of procurement of OT specialists, again, there have been some allegations raised, suspicions raised on irregular appointment of service providers, and the matter was referred back to the board. The board investigated the matter, and it established that procurement processes were followed in the appointment of the service provider named. Right, can proceed. Again, some allegations around how the bonus of the CEO was determined and how it came to be. Again, this was referred back to the board, and the board has been able at least to show the department that there has been a resolution on the matter and the payment of the amount was as a result of an employment agreement concluded between the CEO and the board. So in the structure of the determination of the bonus paid, the board could confirm that everything was in accordance with the resolution of the board. Then it was alleged that it was something that was conspired between the company secretary and the CEO. Leadership stability, there was an allegation that the resignation of the three executives in the short space of time is ascribed to the bullying and maladministration by the CEO. And of course, these matters were referred back to the board, and I think the board will expand on this matter for what has been reported to the department is that there is no evidence found to suggest that the executives resigned due to the said reasons according to the whistleblowing report. All right, we can proceed. Then there has also been in the last 3 years issues of the vandalism of our libraries. Just to give the members a sense of where this vandalism has taken place in Free State, 8 libraries, a sense of what kind of damage has taken place, the usual stealing of the water pipes, usual stealing of parts for air conditioners if the air conditioners themselves are not taken out as a whole. And of course, these always come with breakages in terms of damages on whatever areas where this equipment would have been fixed. Repair works has taken place, but we can proceed to the next slide. In some areas, whilst repair works are taking place, there are repeat occurrences of these incidences. We can go to the next slide. In the Eastern Cape and Gauteng, this is very ripe. The break-ins that also look into other assets, including computer equipment. This in general is now an issue that is taking a toll in terms of extraordinary measures that the libraries have to take in terms of security arrangements. And of course, it's raising the cost of security for the libraries. We can proceed. I think that's the last slide. Next slide. So I'm just showing here to the honorable members that this is prevalent. It's across many provinces, if not almost all of them. So it's something that strategically and in terms of our risk management, we have to lift up our standards in terms of measures that we have to put in place for security. And as I said, these are figures over the last 3 years, and with repeat occurrences, and the trend is seemingly increasing than declining. Okay. Can go to the next slide. I think the issues are more or less the same. I'm just now flagging the slide to complete the mapping of these incidences amongst the top three, being the Northern Cape as well. They haven't spoken about Eastern Cape and Gauteng, but of the top three, the Northern Cape, right? As I mentioned, honorable members, as I am flipping through these slides, it is confirming what I'm saying, that this is happening almost across all provinces. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, meeting this Monday. On that note, now can I give it to the leader of the National Library of South Africa to introduce the delegation and to give us what they want to say to us. I'm suspecting the agenda is telling you what we are needing to you, so many things. We'll look to you to get to everything that we ask that you must come and share with us. Good morning, Refilo. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Okay.
Yes, Refilo.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone.
If you do have a problem of network, you may switch off the camera. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for that. And once more, good morning to everyone. And thank you very much for the opportunity. And especially being the very first time as the new board, which we only started towards the end of last year. So this is basically our first time. And I'm not here alone. I'm here with the executive team. And we don't have the board, the all other board members due to their other engagements. So the executive that I'm with, I'm going to introduce them. I'm with the CEO, which is Mr. Kepi Madume. He is with me together with the interim CFO, which is Mr. Ramawa. We also have the executive co-programs, Nobutula Musa, and the acting executive corporate, Jolene Badas. So this is the team that I will be representing NLSA with, and also will be addressing to all the issues that are tabled as on the agenda. Based on the agenda, I will be allowing through you, Chairperson, the CEO to take us through the APP. And also, I will also be requesting the executive co-programmers, Nobutula, to take us through the Cisco presentation. And I will handle all the whistleblower issues that have been raised. And I think that will be that's the order of how we've prepared for today. So at this moment, I will hand over to the CEO to take us through the APP. Over to you, Mr. Madume.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning, members. I'm KP Madumo, the CEO of the National Library, as the chair has
indicated.
I will be
everyone who's greeting us. Everyone who's greeting us, we want your face. Everyone who's greeting us, we want to say.
Chair, the presentation outline. I'll just give an introduction I'll skip the mandate because the acting DG spoke briefly about the mandate of the National Library, and I'll take the committee through our strategic intent, which take you from our five-year strategy and briefly on some governance issues and our strategic imperatives and the program, the budget overview.
What can I do, honorable members? This leader is not listening. He can't.
The as you all know that the National Library has established in terms of the National Library of South Africa's Act, and it's a Schedule 3A public entity. And we conduct
we can hear you, Chair. Dennis, sorry, we can hear you, but the speaker.
I'm saying that the speaker
one in Pretoria and two sites in Cape Town. just behind the parliament, the center for the book, and the
Jabu, call this person here. I've been calling you. We didn't see your face, and I'm worried whether you can hear Ute person when he's calling you. We are trying to correct whenever you are greeting and you want to say something. Firstly, you must show your face and greet the members. We didn't see who's speaking. And this somebody now can't even hear me when I'm calling him to show your face. You must show your face. And then because we're having it, I've been calling you. You were running. Okay. Honorable members, this is Mr. Bandang. Okay, carry on.
No, apologies, Chairperson and members. I think my computer just misbehaved. I had to switch on to another computer. I think my name there shows as Jolene Badeis, but actually, Chair, it's Kepi Madumo, the CEO. So my computer just decided to misbehave. I'm not sure, Chair, if it's proper then, if I can switch off my camera.
You with the wrong name on you.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe you thought, they probably thought that the robot is now taking over the role of the CEO.
Okay, carry on. Sorry about this, honorable members. Okay. Carry on.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. The National Library of South Africa derive its mandate from the National Library of South Africa's Act and also the Legal Deposit Act and applicable regulations. Our strategic intent, the NLSA revised its vision and mission in 2019, and our vision, Chair, is a world-class African National Library and Information Hub. And the vision of the NLSA underpins by three pillars. Firstly, we position ourselves as the world-class library, renowned nationally and internationally, and primarily our focus saving the interest of our continent. And our mission is that Acting DG indicated, we build, record, preserve, and make accessible a complete South African documentary heritage, fostering a reading nation towards an informed citizenry. And we are guided by the values of integrity, excellence, innovation, collaboration, and accountability. As I will skip this slide, as the DDG touched briefly on it in terms of the governance, we have a brand new board which was appointed on the 1st of October 2021, and the current executive, myself and the ED and the interim CFO, we are also new. I was appointed on the 1st of December 2019 on a 5-year contract, and the board is fully functional, as the chairperson, as the DDG indicated. The board has got three committees that assist the board in terms of executing its mandate. We have the audit and risk performance, which comprises of your independent members, and the research and knowledge management committee, which basically looks after the core business of the NLSA, and the human resource and remuneration committee. These are the board subcommittees. Chair, our strategic imperatives, we are aligned to the priorities of the department and also of the sixth administration in terms of our contribution to economic transformation and job creation. The NLSA's focus within the next, in the 5 year of our strategic plan is to provide opportunities for young, for the youth through graduate development program and internship programs. And also our focus will also be on skills development and assisting with increasing employability opportunities for young people, and also ensuring that we comply with the broader government priorities of ensuring that we support the SMMEs and we pay them on time, and ensuring that we contribute to the economy. And this strategic imperatives are aligned to our shareholders' priorities. And on the area of education we support education in terms of promoting information literacy and capacity building to promote a reading nation. And this find expression in some of the programs that we are delivering as the NLSA. I mean, the common famous one is promoting our indigenous languages in terms of writing and publishing and providing that support. And again, on another sphere, as you know, that the National Library, the Pretoria campus, under normal circumstances, if we are not affected by COVID, we can accommodate to close to 1,500 users on a daily basis, and this is a very critical support for research, for higher education that are around us here in Tshwane, and also the Cape Town campus continue to provide research support for our researchers to come and access our collection. As you know, most of our collection are not borrowed out, but they are used internally. And we are saying these are the support and the strategic imperative that the National Library provides towards service delivery and improving the lives of our people. And on economic transformation, I've alluded to this one. I think my screen doesn't move. I think it just froze now. Okay, on social cohesion and safe communities, these are
nothing on the screen.
Okay, is the screen now visible?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Chair. We create a safer space for social cohesion. As to give an example, our libraries, both Pretoria and Cape Town campus, have free Wi-Fi, and this allows for our users. And then we have seen that quite often our library users feel safe, and they come to our spaces to interact, and part of the work that we are doing is restoration and preservation of this documentary heritage for our unborn and future generation. And also we increase our support to establish reading and book clubs in partnership with the provincial library services and municipalities. And we also have a very strong partnership with the Department of Correctional Services on our reading programs for redemption, where we involve all the prisoners in reading activities. And we also encourage dialogue around topical issues your book launches within our campuses, and also working closely with provincial library services. And I think we are also a critical player in preserving and promoting our indigenous languages as we embark on a program of reprinting the classics. In terms of the Better Africa and the World, Chair, we the National Library through the department, as you members will recall, that our minister has initiated a program where we, on two occasions in this country, we hosted the African ministers who are responsible for libraries, and I think the importance of this kind of dialogue is to highlight the importance of libraries in the development and towards the achievement of the goals in terms of your developmental SDG developmental goals. And again, Chair, as the National Library and together with the department, we play a critical role within this international organization in IFLA and also in SCECSEL. These are the programs that are very key in our continent in terms of providing leadership within the library space, and we continue to participate and assist where necessary. Actually, this year, Chair, we are hosting the SCECSEL in partnership with our library association and the department within the continent. So, Chair, I'm not going to dwell on this one because the DDG briefly spoke about the composition of the NLSA staff and its management. I will zoom straight to our APP. As we know that the NLSA has got three programs. The program number one is administration, which is to provide the strategic support to the core programs. And program number two, which is business development. Its summary, Chair, is to collect, preserve, and protect South African documentary heritage and render a national bibliographic services. Under these programs, we have 9 performance indicators, and under program one, we also
have to pay more to normalize more service.
Honorable Malomane. Oh God. Honorable Malomane, please. It's Mama Bolo. It's because I've seen Honorable Malomane as the mic here. What are you doing, honorable members? Honorable Mama Bon. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, CEO. Please go on. Don't know why this member's doing this. I'm sorry. Go on.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. I will start then with program one, which is administration. Its purpose is to provide the strategic support to the core program. Under the approved 2022-2023 APP, it has key performance indicators. And program two, which is business development, its function is to collect, preserve, and protect South African documentary heritage and render a national bibliographic service. Under this program, Chair, we have 9 performance indicators in the APP. And the last program, which is public engagement, its function is to provide a universal access to information and promotion of a culture of reading, writing, and publishing. So, Chair, before I go into the detail, I just wanted to quickly zoom into our budget overview. We receive largely our budget from the government grants, which constitute 68% of our budget, and the municipal charges, which constitute 2%, and private leases is 10%. And in addition, Chair, we also have this community library grants, and the revenue generated internally constitute 2.5 million, and which is 2%. All in all, Chair, in total, the NLSA budget overview for the 2022-2023 financial year is 138 million, and this is what will the resources presented to us to implement the APP. And in terms of the breakdown in terms of how those resources are going to be expanded, the employee cost constitute 50%, and goods and services it's 32%, and 18% Chair is coming from the conditional grant that the department gave to us, and this basically will help us to ensure that what we promise on the APP is delivered. Chair, then under program one, the output indicators that are on our APP talks to our broader outcome as per the five-year strategy, and the first output indicator talks to outcome that talks to our improved level of corporate governance and well-governed institution. What we are trying to achieve here, as we indicated, we want to ensure that we generate and collect the revenue that we will help us to augment the little budget that we have. We know that under COVID, this indicator is a stretch target, but we are saying that as we have projected 2.5 million under the current financial year on our self-generated revenue, we plan to collect the 100% that we have budgeted. And again, on the output number two, which is percentage of audited improvement plan implemented, we are saying on the, as I think the DDG has indicated, that the elephant in the room is our GREP 103. And when you look at our previous audit outcome, I think if it was not the GREP 103 qualification, the NLSA would have got a clean audit. But yeah, we are saying our commitment is to make sure that the GREP 103 gets addressed under the difficult challenges that we have been embarking on to address. And I think members will recall that the NLSA is a 200 years institution, and we are dealing with collection that predates back the 1800s. It's a real mammoth task, but I think when we talk, the CFO will elaborate on the roadmap, on the progress on that note. And again, the issues of risk management plan implemented, we know that we are putting ourselves at 100% issues of risk. You can't have 99% target to achieve. Always it must be 100%. And issues of plane maintenance, percentage of plane maintenance and project completed, we always have the view that the business that we are conducting as the National Library, you can't preserve our collection if the aircons are not working. Maintenance become a very critical business for the NLSA. The issues of temperature control, broadly other critical maintenance that can hamper or pose a risk for the NLSA. And I always say that we might, the NLSA Pretoria campus might look as a new building, but if we are not increasing the lifespan of our assets, we will create serious challenges for the future. And those are the targets, Chair. We want to ensure that all our planned maintenance projects are completed 100%. Also on issues of compliance with the NLSA regulation universe, issues of compliance, we leave no room for mediocrity. We are saying we want to achieve the 100%. In terms of the expenditure against the conditional grants that we receive, we setting ourselves a target of 95%. Technology availability of our network, Chairperson, is critical for service delivery, and downtime of our network, we know that the issues of load shedding comes into play, but we are saying that if we have delivered on our services 96%, it's a reasonable achievement to deliver, since we our collection now is available online, and most of the things that we are doing, we rely on availability of network, Wi-Fi, and so forth. The number of NLSA brand visibility and intervention activities and stakeholder engagement, we have planned 17 activities that we will roll out through the four quarters. And I think one of the most important thing around brand visibility, one of our strategic risk was that the NLSA need to market itself so that the community need to know about the service offerings that the NLSA offer to the public. And it's a concerted effort to be visible out there so that people know about our service offering. And also on the issue percentage of approved HR strategy implemented, as the NLSA is currently in the process of organizational redesign, and there is an HR strategy that we have put in place, and as part of this organizational redesign and change management, we want to ensure that an NLSA become your employer of choice in the near future. And under Program 2, Chair, business development, which is the core business of the NLSA, also this one talks to also our five-year strategy, where we are saying that the number of the output indicator here, we are talking about the number of publications collected, recorded through the legal deposit. This is a legal requirement, Chair, that every publication that is produced and published in the country, it must be deposited to the National Library. Based on the historical statistics that we have collected, incrementally we are ensuring that there's compliance. We have seen that during COVID, there was a little bit decline in terms of publishing output, and we hope that it will gradually improve in the near future. And this is our target for the year 2022-23. The next indicator, the number of initiatives held to promote legal deposit and non-serial publication. This is again a concerted effort by the NLSA to go out there and engage and popularize the importance of legal deposit to publishers. And these are workshops and outreach programs that we do out there with the community. And the number of items repairs and bound, it's a very critical operation of the NLSA, which talks to our preservation and conservation of our collection. And this is, we always call this area if you come to our lab, our conservation lab, we call it the ICU of the books, because this is where we increase the lifespan of the books, since our mandate is to preserve them for the future generation. And these are the target, Chair, that we set ourselves to around this area of work. And number of items, the SADFI, again, this is a core business of the NLSA to ensure that the paper that record all this information, we increase the lifespan by using specialized machine and equipment in the NLSA. We are the only, I think when we, the machine, this, the acidification plant was procured, the National Library was among the first in the continent to acquire this, and we are receiving a lot of requests. I mean, we did the acidification of the late president, President Mandela's collection. We received another request from the Thabo Mbeki Presidential Library also to assist on this. It's a very big operation. And what is interesting again here, we are imparting skills to our new graduates to learn in this area. The number of heritage images digitized, this is a very modern way of preserving our collection. And this area of our work was also supported through the presidential stimulus package. We were able to get additional funding in the previous financial year. The NLSA is in a better position now because we acquired a new state-of-the-art digitization equipment that will help us to fast-track digitizing our collection. As members will recall, that majority of our collection in the NLSA is physically housed in our two campuses, and COVID has taught us that with the restriction, people were unable to visit and come to our libraries. And what we are doing is with our digitization project is to ensure that all the collection that is out of the copyright legislation, we digitize them and make them accessible remotely, and people can just access this collection with the press of a button without visiting the two campuses. The number of articles, papers, and posters presented or published. As the National Library, one of our mandates is to ensure that we promote research, and this is an area where we are trying to ensure that we are the thought leaders, and we help the sector to get the latest information about the profession. And these are the number of papers that we have set ourselves to present in international conferences, and also both locally and internationally, to share with the world the best practice that our country can offer in terms of producing knowledge. Issues of capacity building and development, as I've indicated, that as the NLSA, one of our mandates again is to provide leadership to the sector, and capacity building continues to be an area of offering. Number of editions of the NLSA accredited journal published. We publish our journal twice a year, and this, the NLSA Bulletin, is an accredited journal by the Department of Higher Education. And the next indicator is around innovation services initiated and implemented. We are saying under this output indicator, innovation should drive us to improve our services to our communities. And under this indicator, Chair, we are saying that as the NLSA, let's always wear a thinking and innovative hat. And very soon we will be launching our new robot that we have innovated in the previous financial year. And we are saying here that let's 4IR help us to modernize our services. Hence, we know that the library space is always driven by technology and new innovation. And under program three, public engagement. Public engagement, basically, Chair, this is an area of our work which interface directly with the public. This is where we engage public on a daily basis through the users coming to our libraries or the NLSA leaving its four walls and going to the public, working closely with the provincial library services and the municipalities in engaging with the various communities. And this, as you can see, is on a reading promotion campaign organized nationally. And we are saying that our annual target for this year, we want to engage with our communities on 15 targeted programs. And this, some of these programs are also aligned to our national days. And the reading, number of reading summit hosted, this is a biennial conference that we host to bring together all the partners who are involved within the reading ecosystem. And I think one of the challenges about the current space of reading is that we don't have data that help us to measure the success that we are doing. And I think part of the Reading Summit basically help us. So we hosted the first one in 2020, and the next one will be hosted next year, as we will be taking stock, and because I think one of the critical work that we need to do as the NLSA is to also working with our partners to conduct a national reading survey around this area. A number of books published through community publishing grants. This is an area, as I've indicated, that one of our mandates in promoting and preserving our indigenous language, we give publishing grants to yourself publishers to publish their works. And annually, it's a small budget, but with the little that we are offering, we feel that we are making an impact. As you can see, it's an annual thing because it's the value chain in terms of getting the book published. It's a little bit cumbersome because it goes through reviews and all that. And the number of book clubs supported and workshop conducted. This is another form of promoting or contributing to reading and writing, working closely with the provincial library services because the space that we operate in is within the province and municipality. So it's the train the trainer kind of a workshop where we train teams that work closely with various municipalities to help establish book clubs. And ultimately, some of these book clubs participate in our annual Funda Mzansi program. The number of electronic information resources retrieved and accessed, again, this is services offered through our public access department where we fulfill information requests and needs coming from our users, both locally and internationally. And the number of guides distributed to members of the South African Interlending Scheme. As the National Library, one of our mandates is to facilitate the sharing of resources amongst or between libraries. So we update these guides and we share it with all the participating libraries, both locally and internationally. And the number of physical items retrieved and accessed, and these are the resources that members of the public use when they come to our libraries, and that's the target. And I think, Chair, that's the end of my presentation on the APP. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I think the next presentation, Chair, with your permission, if you allow, yes. It will be done by Menok Tula on the Cisco.
Must try to be faster. The presentations are too long, but we do appreciate because we have prepared.
Thank you.
Okay, Noctula.
Good morning, Honorable from the committee and colleagues. The presentation I'm going to do is on the Cisco project that we are doing. It is a public partnership with Cisco to enhance the 4IR skills. I'm not able to share my screen. I don't know if I can be assisted to project the presentation. I will try to be brief.
Okay. We've seen you, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we move to the next slide? I will just run through the presentation. To give a background about the project, what we have done and the beneficiaries and the training. Can we just move to the next slide? I will skip this part, but I will just briefly touch on why we are doing this project, why we are doing this initiative. As the CEO has indicated, Chairperson and members, we are as part of a capacity building and supporting and playing a leadership role in the sector. We work with the department from time to time to implement certain special projects that benefit especially community libraries in the country. So this Cisco project is one of such projects that we have implemented, and Cisco is our main partner in this public-private partnership. Move to the next slide, please. The Cisco is a global company with offices here in South Africa. It's a well-established company. They have, this academy program is one of such that is implemented globally. It's a program that is implemented to enhance ICT skills. For us as the National Library, we saw an opportunity to facilitate capacity building on the skills that are required for our communities to participate in the 4IR economy. So that's why we entered into this partnership. Can move to the next one, please. The program is aligned to the government priorities, particularly the economic transformation and job creation. As we are all aware that 4IR skills are now very essential for anyone to participate in a global economy, we have, that's why we saw an opportunity to work with Cisco on this project, because these skills are very essential for our communities throughout South Africa, especially for young people. And it's also an opportunity to develop people, to create career opportunities that for people who participate in this project. For example, we have heard stories of people that have gone to who participated in the program in the past years, who have gone to establish their own companies, create employment opportunities, and people, because this the nature of the program, it allows you to train other people and develop yourself with the 4IR skills. And for example, the system that we are using for this training, the WebEx system, is one of the former beneficiaries of this program. So if I can just pick the slide and go to the next one, please. We, as the National Library of South Africa, our role in this program was to facilitate consultation at a national level, because we are able to connect all public libraries in the country through provincial libraries. We facilitated the identification of 18 libraries initially, but when the program was launched, there was a great need from the public libraries. They wanted more libraries to participate. In total, we ended up with 103 people participating in the program. The representativity was quite important for us and for the partners as well, that we have rural representation, urban and peri-urban. So we also played a role in ensuring that there was the we identified for this training, because it was virtual training during the time of COVID. And we had to make sure that there was proper internet and reliable and stable internet connectivity, and there were enough computers in space to accommodate the project, not just for the training, but also for implementation after the project. So Cisco provided training and the equipment that was required for the program. Next slide, please. So this is the WebEx system that is used and installed in the 9 libraries so far. The system it allows for interaction, real live streaming. As I said, this program is global. Our participants are connected with people from all over the world. Through the training itself and through interaction afterwards. So it's important that they have the right tools for that implementation to take place. This system is going to be, we as NLSA are now in the process of, we are planning to roll it out to the remaining libraries. We'll be covering the cost for that, so that all libraries are capacitated to actually do the training. Next slide. So this program, as indicated, is training the trainer. In other words, the people that have completed this program are expected to train other members of communities within the libraries where they come from. And the training covers these crucial 4IR skills, which we all know the importance of cybersecurity. It's very, very important if you want to be part of the global economy. The Internet of Things. Internet of Things is about interaction of different devices through applications and network connectivity. And then the Python, essentials. Python is a programming language that is very crucial, especially for data analysis and automation of processes. So people with these skills are very highly marketable in the 4IR economy. For participants to be to pass and to successfully complete the program, they had to score 75% so that they can be recognized as Cisco accredited trainers. So these are the people that will be training other people as well in their communities. They can also, they become competitive, they become marketable anywhere in the world, because it's a globally recognized program. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Can we move to the next slide, please?
Please try.
Apology there.
Okay.
It froze again.
Okay. I just took on my slide. Okay, I just wanted to share the country representativity. I'm going through and looking at my own slides, which I can't share now.
I think it's now projecting.
It is.
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. The main thing for us was the representativity.
It's
big,
big.
Okay. Okay. For us, it was very important to have a representation of the country. In terms of participants, and since it was our first one, and the program will be extended obviously to include other districts that were not covered. We tried as much as possible to extend the coverage, but the main deciding factor was a reliable and stable internet connectivity since the program was presented virtually. So this is the representation. This is how the various districts and libraries in the country they participated in the program. So if I can just move to the next slide, please.
Where is Eastern Cape? Yeah.
Eastern Cape. Let's see. I think Eastern Cape is on the next slide. If I'm not mistaken. Yes, Eastern Cape is on the next slide.
Oh, frozen again. Okay, continue. What they're trying to put.
Yes, but Chair, I can assure you we covered the entire country okay. As much as possible. So these are people, 36 people who successfully completed the program, who scored more than 75%. Who attended the graduation ceremony. But the other people who did not complete, who did not meet the threshold, we have not washed our hand on them. We are working, we are having meetings now with Cisco to map out how we are going to be supporting them. One of the ways that we want to support them is to pair them with those that successfully completed the program, because we understand that online learning is not easy for some people, and that all the necessary support that we can provide so that they can also complete the program and be able to expand this program in the communities where they come from. Mm-hmm. And we will also be buying additional WebEx system for the libraries that are not catered for by Cisco, so that all the libraries in the country that have participated in this program can also continue and expand and multiply the program. And I think this next one is my last one, Chair. Already covered some of it. We will continue to monitor to make sure that it's not just an exciting program where we talk and do things and then afterwards nothing happens. We are continuing to monitor to ensure that they continue to develop themselves, because there are more trainings that they need to participate in. And then we will also make sure that they do train the communities. And I can maybe inform the committee that already Jimiston Library and Newcastle Library in KwaZulu-Natal have already started to the process of training members of the community. Mm. They've got people that have enrolled, and the program in Jimiston, I understand, is underway already. In Newcastle, they are still advertising in a process of selecting people who will participate in the program. And now we are in a process of reviewing and updating our MOU so that we can be able to expand the program to more libraries. This is the end of my presentation, Chair, and I thank you.
Okay. Thank you for this. You were saying this is your last presentation for...
Okay. Thank you very much. This is the last presentation. Okay. However, we can just provide an update with regards to the whistleblowing item, which was briefly touched by the DDG.
Mm-hmm.
And in her presentation, she mentioned that the issue that has been raised, especially the one about the director HR, has been addressed and attended to, and the director HR is actually no longer working for NLSA, as they both took a decision to dismiss her. So that matter has been attended to. And with regards to the other issue that was raised by the DDG with regards to the leadership instability, the matter was discussed within the board. And that matter, based on our discussion, was also agreed that there is no evidence of a leadership instability, as all those that have resigned, they resigned with the reasons based on the fact that they got other positions or they've been appointed in other organizations. And they even the board actually went to an extent of getting information about their exit interviews, whether did they mention anything with regards to being bullied or so on, and none of those was raised in their exit interviews. So the resignations that we are aware of, they were not even related to all those issues that were raised on the whistleblowing opinion that was submitted. So based on that, those are the all other matters have been attended to, and the board has played a very, very important role in ensuring that we get into details of all the issues, we interrogate, and we provide guidance where needed and also support where also needed. So we have addressed all the issues related to this blog.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Mava. So with your colleagues, still are welcoming you, and you have given us an informative presentation of yours. Honorable members, now I'm taking this opportunity to give you, honorable members, to raise your questions, interaction, suggestion in that way. I'm expecting now the hands, honorable members. Are you in, honorable members? Yes, honorable Adams. Honorable Adams. Honorable, I don't know, this is not corresponding. Honorable Zondi. Honorable Denise. Honorable Veronica. Honorable Sebia, Honorable Maloman, in that order. Honorable Adams.
Good morning, Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I see.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Chair. Good morning to all protocol observed on the platform. The Ms. Mandi, who's leading the department, the entity, our colleagues, I'm greeting you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson, to raise some questions this morning. I'm in Carnarvon and it's freezy cold here, so I don't want to show my face now, because you will be shocked of all the ice that are going through this night. Chairperson, my question is, what system is in place to ensure that all libraries are supported and developed by the National Library of South Africa to ensure libraries are fully functional with adequate facilities and accessible for users? What is the entity doing to promote reading in our schools and community, and how does it ensures the use of libraries. Chairperson, sorry, and on the financial allocation 2020-2021 and 2022 financial allocation, I just wanted clarity on that, because there's none allocations stated there. I read it in the column of grant, municipality charges, and leaving, leasing. If they can explain what had happened there. And then, Chairperson, I wanted to congratulate the board on the balance of members. But I also notice they must check on the raised balance to the board. It indicated all black, which is not a problem. But the norm is to identify different rates, not that it is a problem to us, but other entities identify them, like mentioned. And my last question, Chairperson, is on oversight. It looks very good on paper, but I hope it is the true reflection. I will stop there, Chairperson. What is this? Other one.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Thank you so much. Honorable Zondi. Honorable Zondi.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the members and the DG Mandisa and the team, and also Zilegas and the team from the National Liberal Association. Chair, I will take a few the first one, Chair, is the gradual budget cuts over years, not demoralizing employees, does affecting their performance. That would be the first one. And the second one, Chair, in relation to the case of company secretary, News 24 reported on the 26th November last year that the board will investigate the allegations by the whistleblower that the CEO was shielding bullying the company secretary. Has this happened, Chair? If so, what are the outcomes of the investigation? Utitichimandis are trying to deal with this matter, but I wanted to ask a Kanjistar so that maybe I'll get the bottom of it, Chair. Maybe on the case of the company secretary. What protection has been afforded to the whistleblower by the entity? Okay, another question is, how is the entity leveraging the digital transformation to develop platforms to access materials such as ebooks and other digital platforms to promote access to library works and publications? And the last one, Chair, is the level of vandalism based on the low usage of libraries, and how do provincial departments ensure the security of facilities and the sustainable use of facilities? And beyond that, why are the libraries in easy jackets? Okay, I will pause on those few.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Zondi. Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to our entity leadership and the members. Thank you for the opportunity to ask the questions, Chairperson. I want to start off by saying that I visited the Cape Town library some months ago, I found it in a world class, as the vision indicates, you know, the status and the service, good. But I just want to ask a question on program one that deals with the administration and the comment made by the presenter about AirConcept must work. On that visit, I discovered that there were some shelves high up that were empty, and I asked a question about it. And it was said that the roof was leaking, and the previous committee before my time had picked that up as well. So I wanted to know if under planned maintenance, it says 100%, I want to know if the fixing of that roof is completed in the maintenance program and what the cost was. Then, Chairperson, the presenter went very fast. I wanted also to confirm that claiming the world-class status on the vision, I linked it, my visit was linked to the grey collection and a question we received, a query from New Zealand, which was adequately answered, and the mystery that the library have and protected the information, it's world-class standard, international standards. I want to commend the library management on that. The one in Cape Town, and we still want to do a visit to the Pretoria campus. So, Chairperson, I want just to ask also on, I want to support members on this comment on the decline on the financial allocation. That is a concern. And then on the audit outcomes, I want to ask that GRAP 103, in three consecutive years, there was no improvement. So on the heritage assets, which the AGF audit committee have listed, it's about 700,000, I think. But I want to know, how does the entity plan to address that problem if we move out and get that clean audit, if that really is the big issue as mentioned. On the whistleblowers case information, I think what I want to say here, it's good there's reporting, there's whistleblowers. I think that is the essence for me of that entity has a system like that where people can openly report, doesn't matter what it is. And the intervention is there and there's an outcome. I think that is part of good governance that one would like to see in other entities as well. Chairperson, just a question on the 200,000 bonus CEO. I just want to know if that was an amount of one financial year. But there was a query which was cleared. And then, of course, is there a minimum amount or a maximum amount for bonuses in the entity for the executive? I just wanted clarity on that. Other questions I will ask. On the vandalism, I will do a written question on that. My last point, Chairperson, for this round is the 4IR. I appreciate the effort that the library is making and preparing library staff, you know, really, and preparing our country and the leaders in that field. But I want to know if the board members also go on these courses, the senior management also go on it, besides the general staff that are dealing with the future and dealing with the public, particularly the schools who come in there. I just wanted to know what is the plan there, because ultimately that is the way to go, and that's the preparation we must do for the future. And I appreciate that they are attending to the FOIR. As a matter of urgency. But how many staff, how many people, and what is the budget there? How many staff, how many people, what is the intention, the numbers I'm looking for in the budget and the numbers that I'm looking for that needs to be trained over the period of time? That's for now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to welcome the presentation. My colleague covered a lot of interesting points. I also agree with him that the whistleblower, the fact that there's a platform where people can that they can use to report issues. That for me is a plus. My only problem is that, like in the case of the company secretary who submitted that fraudulent offer of employment, that she resigned before steps could be taken, and that creates the opportunity that people like that will be recycled without consequences. And for me personally, that's a bit problematic. I want to, my question, I only have two, the Cisco training. I want to know if the Northern Cape, did they participate? Because I cannot see if there is any person that finally completed the training. And then I would also want to request and that I can receive in writing a list of all the libraries in the Northern Cape with damage done to them. What type of damage, and also the damage in rand value. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Sibiya.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for your presentation. The issue of vandalism, which the level is too high, but Honorable Zondi has covered it. But it seems that it can be improved at all libraries, it will be appreciated. And how does the entity assess and monitor the impact of its work in building reading culture? What is the uptake of the use of libraries, and how does the entity monitor usage of libraries? The other one, what is the current status of recruitment in view of the vacancies indicated in the organogram presented? The last one, the position of corporate services director is currently vacant. What progress has the NLSA made towards its 5-year target of raising 13% of the DSET budget allocation through sponsorship generating in patient kind? I think it's a question.
Thank you, Honorable Sibiya. Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Honorable Chen. Can I not show my video? I've got a network challenge. Hey, this place where I'm staying, I've got a challenge of network. My apology, but I, yes. My question, it will be the first one. It will be based on the issue of recruitment. I just want to ask, what is the current status of recruitment in view of the vacancies indicated in the organogram presented, especially in slide 10 of NLSA's presentation to the committee? The other one is on the issue of the vandalism. I just want to check on the total of 102 libraries that are listed. What is the date range for the cases? Can the department kindly provide an essential total cost of the incident? Has any study been undertaken to determine what the impact is on the delivery of library services in the affected areas? So the other question that I'm having is that, what measures and partnership does the entity have internationally and domestically to attract investment and other support to expand the impact of the entity? And what is the target amount beyond the target of implementation of the sponsorship strategy? The entity is relatively small to medium-sized entity. What is the impact of 50% of the expenditure being employee cost? The other one that I want to check on their target. There are targets that their annual target is 100%, but if you can check quarterly, it is also per quarter, it's 100, 100, 100, 100. So I just want to check whether it was a mistake or what on the issue of target, especially under administration. Thank you. On their annual target versus their quarterly target. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane. Let me take this opportunity to welcome Honorable Mazungose. We are aware that last week you were having a bereavement.
we are welcoming you back, hoping that you are taking that easy. Thank you that you are back to work again, Honorable Madlungosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I please not have the video on the where I am is like on and off, on and off. I've been trying to get it. Yes. Thank you, Chairperson, for the comforting words, and thank you for the presentation from our visitors. I've been covered a lot of the questions by my colleagues. I want to find out are there plans where indigenous and informative books are being introduced to our schools and our libraries, where the younger people are really getting information as to where we're coming from and where we're going as a country and as a nation, as South Africa and Africa in general. And another question I have, the Chairperson, is are there plans to create more libraries, you know, within our in informal sectors, where also like in places where most people, the poor people, are living, and will there be plans to have more Wi-Fi access to most of these places? Chairperson Zamab Jablan.
Thank you, Honorable Mamabulo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question is not a difficult one. It's around the HR issues. I want to check what kind of measures did the entity develop in vetting process for the HR issue, especially with the director of the HR there. Because there's some information on irregularities which were raised in that department, and what measures did they take to address them? The second issue is with regard to the townships. What kind of support are they giving to the libraries in township? Because I know, for example, for my library in Sejeo, things are not working well there. Is it under municipality, or are they part of it? And what other measures are they using to make sure that they cover villages and townships, and the people are able to become a reading nation? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Madoman, Honorable Mamabulo. Mine is just I wanted to check with you, the leader of the delegation, also with it, and also with the department. The question of libraries, I'm suspecting that the Department of Education is supposed to be involved. I've seen here you are talking about MOU. I don't know this MOU, this memorandum of understanding with which department. I wanted to check what is the involvement, and how do you link with municipalities, district municipalities, and the Department of Education, if you can elaborate on that. I'm raising that in some district where we are staying, some of us, you'll be seeing so many related libraries, and you're wondering whether it's because it's in this sphere of the local government, and whose responsibilities that they must take care. So I didn't hear what are you saying, your relationship, your department, you NLC, National Library of South Africa, your relation with these two departments, your education and the municipalities. I'll give the members, if they still have other questions. Honorable members, if you think that you still have a question that you want to raise, I'm giving you that chance in order that we minimize the time and you ask all the questions before you leave the platform. Any other member? Because I'm having legacy hands here. I won't understand what is going on. Okay. Can Miss...
Chairperson, I raise my new hand. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, please. Yes. Go on, honorable member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've got let me just check. I got two questions. Yes, Chairperson, the budget allocation for compensation of employees, the CEO, amounts to 68.9 million for the 22-23 financial year. This presentation, 49.9% of the entities is total budget estimated. Further, the 21 estimated of national expenditure indicates that for the medium term expenditure framework ending 23-24, transfers from the DSEC are reduced by 35.8 million, mainly to the effect of a COE and goods and services. The NRSA 22-23 APP indicates that COE indeed remains at 68.9 million up to the including 24-25. How does this affect recruiting suitable qualified persons to fill the existing vacancy, Chairperson? That will be the only question. Chair, please check slide 13, DSEC presentation. The department indicated that NL South Africa board will expand on the allegations of bullying and maladministration. The committee should ensure that NL South Africa deals with the matter, as its presentation does not contain any detail regarding these issues flagged by the department. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Maloman, Amamabulo, it's a legal hand or... Honorable Mamabulo. Ntate Boy. Let me take this opportunity to go back to the leader of the NLSA to give everyone in your leadership to take the stock of the question and respond, and then the last department you must do so. Ms. Mabaso?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks for the questions. We truly appreciate this because it provides us an opportunity to elaborate further and to provide more clarity in terms of for the presentations that have been presented earlier on. This is how we're going to address the questions. The CFO will take care of all the financial related questions, and the CEO, assisted by the executive core program, they will take care of all questions related to operations, and then I'll take care of all governance related issues. So we will firstly give over to the CEO followed by the CFO, then I will take the last part of it. Over to you, CEO.
No, thanks. Thanks, Chairperson. Let me start firstly by appreciating the comments that members and the compliments that members raised. Truly appreciated. Maybe let me start with the question that was raised by Honorable Zondi around the issues of the budget cuts. Are they not demoralizing the employees of the NSSA? Yes, Chair, we know that the cost of living is really skyrocketing, and the salaries of staff is really stagnant, and it's not only the NLSA staff. I think all of us are impacted, and we know in other environment organization people had to take salary cuts, and I think as public servants at some point we have to be appreciating that we still have our jobs, but yeah, the economic climate is not favorable to anybody, and it's for us to make what is available on us, and we know the national treasury position on compensation. As an entity, we rely on the directives that come from that area. But internally, Chair, I think we continue to motivate staff, and with the little resources that we have to keep the ship floating and going. And on the issue of the I'm trying to look at the timing, the financial outcome. I think the CFO will take the financial matters and also the grant 103. In terms of the 4IR, I think it's Honorable Dennis, based on the numbers. And I think the issue of the 4IR is well articulated, Chair, in our 5-year strategy, what the NLSA wants to do. And I think we are appreciative of the fact that the department, through the conditional grant that they allocate to us, also inward looking at the NLSA, but also working closely with the provincial library. This is just to assist the LI sector in how to modernize and utilize technology to improve service delivery. And internationally, the trends on how technology and play in the space of library is not something that we can ignore as a country. And the issues of Wi-Fi accessibility is still a challenge in some provinces, but it's something that constantly occupies our minds. And I know the question was asked, is the board and management trained on this thing? And I think we appreciate it that I think we have a very young board, and they belong to the generation of the born after technology, not. You know, so they are all equipped with the laptops, and they conduct their business virtually and all that. So we hope that they are up to the task, since they are leading an institution that is in the forefront of ensuring that 4IR occupy our space. And on the issue around the recruitment, currently the NLSA is in the process of doing organizational redesign. And just to give a background, the current structure or organizational structure that the NLSA operates in is way outdated. I think the last time the structure was reviewed or revised was 14 years ago. So we have been operating with outdated job descriptions and all that, and it becomes quite urgent and critical that our job description are in line with the skills required to operate in the current environment. Things so much have changed, and this project becomes a critical area. And I think one of the critical areas is that, yes, with the budget cut, and last year, as the austerity measures were implemented, we were not spared as the National Library. I think in the previous financial year, at one point, we got three budget cuts, and one of the impactful one was around compensation, and I think almost 2.8 million compensation was taken away. So what we are trying to do, Chair, is that as we are reviewing the Western design, some of the redundant positions are not being filled, and we prioritize the most critical positions that will help us to deliver on our strategy. And on the issue of indigenous books being introduced to schools and all that, this LLSA together with the department has got a very aggressive program on as part of the department's mandate of preserving, promoting indigenous languages. We work closely with our sister entity, PENSAL, and the department. We provide grants to assist emerging authors to publish in indigenous languages. We also have a program where we are reprinting the classics, which most of us have read, and those classics are no longer being printed by publishers because they claim that there is no market. And we are saying that those classics are the ones that made us who we are as South Africans. We read those Boom Pile Mpile, all our classics that we read at high school and primary, and we are reprinting those, make them available to libraries so that we can preserve and promote our indigenous languages. And some of them, yes, we donate them to schools, to the libraries and so forth. And we have a very we also do the cross translation of this classic from Sepedi to Sizulu, Sizulu to IsiXhosa. So those ones that are popular, so that South Africans can appreciate this literary work of our indigenous languages. And we work very closely with the Department of Education. I mean, some of the programs that promote reading, spelling BEE, I am glad that in one of the popular songs, they also promote spelling BEE in those. And so our outreach programs, Chair, basically target the school children, and we have a very strong stakeholder relationship. And I think together with the department, we meet quarterly with the Department of Education in a forum called it's a statutory forum, which is ENCLIS, which the Department of Education is represented, and we always share all these challenges and collaborate on this national program. There is a strong working relationship and international relationship also. International Association, IFLA and AFLIA and EXPER, always provide learning opportunities and platform for libraries and librarians to to collaborate. So those are the platforms that we use, and as the national librarian, I participate in the Council for Directors of National Libraries, and there are also other subcommittees, even locally, in the IASA as our mother body for the professional association. We engage on a continuous basis for the improvement and the betterment of the LIS profession in our country. And I think the question that Honorable Mamabolo asked around what's happening in Seshego libraries and all those things. And I think I'll leave this question to Ntateketana from the department to talk about the relationship between the provincial library services and the municipalities and the department. And I think the question that was asked around the roof maintenance in Cape Town. Yes, the Cape Town roof maintenance is currently it's one of our priority projects because we're working closely with the Department of Public Works, and I think one of the challenges of not moving the Cape Town roof building is classified as a heritage building, and the tiles that are in that building have been discontinued. So I think there has been a feasibility study that has been conducted. I think there will be an interim solution to assist to prevent further damage while the major work that is going to take place we will follow later, because we are looking at the rains that are coming now in June in Cape Town, so that there's no further damage to our collection. There are plans within our maintenance program to ensure that there is an interim solution while we are looking for a more permanent solution. I think we have taken two from our building next door, which is the cathedral. I think they also embarked on a very extensive program to repair their roof. And then I think the challenge again is Cape Town, because of the winds, it always moves the tile. And there are different school of thought that I think we need to put corrugated iron, because I think for posterity. But we are also challenged by all these heritage restrictions, because anything that you do there should be approved by the relevant heritage authority within the Western Cape. I'm not sure, Chair, I can ask, I think on the issue of the annual target versus the quarterly target, Chair. I think the on the issue, especially under program one, I think on the issues of compliance, Chair, I think our position is that compliance issues must be complied to fully, because if we don't comply, it's something else. I mean, if we fail to submit the or pay SARS on a due date, there is a penalty that comes with that non-compliance. So our position on compliance issues, we leave no stone unturned, and I think it's a very stretched target, and we want to make sure that we consistently meet our target on issues of compliance. As I've said, Chair, I think it's a very stretched target. There was a question that was raised, Chair, around what measures have we put in place to ensure the vetting of staff and all that. So we have engaged I think we are approaching this thing in twofold. The pre-employment vetting, we have updated our recruitment protocols. I think it starts with the people when they fill in the application form. There are certain mandatory disclosures that must be made before the selection committee can even consider you. But again, within the internal staff, Chair, we in line with the minimum information security standards, there are also protocols that are embedded there where vetting needs to take place. We are dealing with very sensitive information. I mean, we're dealing with collection, and there are certain level of stuff that needs to be vetted. Those are some of the mechanisms that we are putting. But what is the most critical one is the pre-employment vetting that needs to be thorough, so that we don't bring in people who are not supposed to be in the NLS. Chair, I will pause here and request my colleagues, the CFO, to come in on the issues of the plans we have on the CREP and the issues of the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just switched on briefly my camera because I haven't switched it in before. Switch it off. Thank you. Let me talk about the issue of the budget. Let's look at the model of the NLSA before we talk about the budget, because the model will inform the budget, Chair, with regards to the employee cost. NLSA is a service-based kind of an organization, similarly to an educational institution like a university or a technical. That is mainly driven, its services are mainly driven by human beings. So in other words, if you go to the library, you want a book, a human being must assist you with that. I know Fire 4 IR is coming, perhaps maybe in future, but currently how NLSA budget proportion to the overall expenditure is high. So as compared to other institutions or entities that you find that they can outsource certain services. So I think with regards to that, that should then allow us to interpret to say that why is NLSA a salary budget so high? That's specifically because that it does library services. Library services are undertaken by human beings, in other words. Then maybe move to the issue I heard about the question about whether the budget of 68 million does cater. The budget for 68 million does cater for vacant posts. So those vacancies that we are talking about will not push the current 68 million upwards. It already incorporates that. So those position has been funded in within that 68 million. So in other words, what we are assuring the committee is that the 68 million is not going to shoot up, in other words. If it does, that will be the normal annual treasury salary increase, budget allocation increase, which then flows into the normal annual increase. Then moving along to the issues of GRAP, just to be able to indicate this one, we are aware that it has been here for a long time. And as the new board, what was done was that was just to be able to do what we call a status analysis. What we have done so far, we've already appointed an evaluator. We've already agreed on an approach to finalize everything. We've already incorporated AGSA into terms of our action plan. And even yesterday, we did discuss this plan to say that AGSA should just assist us by coming through. Run about in September, we'll be finalizing all the accounting so that AGSA can audit, finalize the project so that we can come back and report to you as far back as September or October. Rather than waiting for the normal cycle of AG to be able to audit, which is around about May, in this case, that would be May 2023. So to be able to close the gap in terms of the accountability, we'll say this whole issue of grant be finalized in the period of September. That will also assist, Chair, because part of the reason is that if you allow an organization where there's a lot of movement in people, that also affects institutional memory with regards to those that are working on the project. So just to be able to close that gap, we've agreed with AG and they've agreed with our plan that by September they'll be finalizing this audit part, and then we'll also be able to jointly come back and report to this committee as to where we are with regards to that. If there's any other question that I've missed out in finance, Chair, I'm always happy to come back. And I think in my recollection I might have covered all, but if I've missed up something, feel free, Chairperson, to be able to raise that question. I'll be able to answer it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ramawa. I will be responding to questions around whistleblowing, which I think they came, through a number of our members. The first one was with regards to the bullying that was reported, that there's bullying, and which the board took it very serious, because that's a very serious matter that no one would like to be associated with, and especially at that level. So we did our internal investigation as the board, and we started from the point of soliciting some kind of evidence around the bullying, which was so unfortunate that we could not. It was a very difficult task for us. However, we had to conclude the matter and saying that we have no evidence of that. However, even the whistleblower could not even provide at least the preliminary evidence which could lead us to have some kind of evidence in terms of substantiating on the allegations. So those are bullying allegations. For us, were very difficult to solicit in our investigation. Hence, the matter was closed. With regards to issue of the advocate Mabaso, yes, advocate Mabaso was suspended with immediate effect after the matter was brought to our attention. And subsequent to that, we did our internal investigation, contacted the organization that was mentioned, and we then could not solicit any kind of evidence based on his letter of appointment that he provided for from that particular organization. And based on that, while we were busy trying to finalize the matter, because we literally stood up as a board, whereby we allocated some tasks amongst us to ensure that the matter is speedily attended to. Then he resigned. However, we are aware that there is a criminal case that has been opened against him, and that matter is being taken care of by the South African police. So in terms of follow-up and so on, that it's a matter that is it can taken with the South African police. And with the matter regarding the 200,000 bonus, it was quite interesting, because I think that was the first thing that we had to attend to when we joined the organization as the board. And we, which was also quite interesting, because we then immediately, again as the board, and I must say, I find myself to be one of the lucky chairpersons, whereby when we call a board meeting, be it a special board meeting, to attend to some of these issues, because any whistleblower, we take it so serious, because we know how it can affect the morale of the staff, and how important it is for us as an organization to go to safeguard ourselves from a bad reputation. So we did investigate the matter. I went to an extent of even engaging the previous chairperson for more information, and also getting into the documents. We had a very, 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 very difficult discussion with the CEO, so that we could understand his side of story. And what we, the final conclusion of the matter was, this was a pre-contractual agreement between the CEO and the then board. The CEO, when he was appointed, or when he was offered to the position, it was realized that he is way above the salary scale of NLSA. And then the board decided to say, because he was very favorable in terms of his skills, competencies, and also he met all the requirements and even above. Then the only way for the board to attract him was to say they gave him some key performance areas for him to deliver on within a specific time period. And based on those key performance deliverables, it was agreed that he'd be given the bonus. There is evidence of that in writing that was also provided to us to be able to cross examine the issue. And based on that, he did deliver. And I sat in one of those because we had to have another discussion with him, which I sat in the discussion to clarify if those key performance deliverables were delivered or indicators were delivered. And yes, they were delivered. There's evidence of those deliverables. And hence, he received that one. It was a once-off bonus, which he received, and it will not be given again. So it was basically to cover for what the NLSA could not pay him based on what he was earning from his previous employer. And the other issue of what are we doing with the vacancies is the CEO has already mentioned that, yes, we do have vacancies, but one of the issues that I just want to add on his response is that we have started to, especially with the critical positions at the executive level, we have already instructed the CEO to start working on ensuring that we recruit the CFO, because that's one of the most important positions, and the CEO has already advertised the position, so that process is underway. With regards to the other positions, they will be advertised as soon as we have received the final presentation or report from the OD team. We've got an organizational design team that is working on re-looking at the org structure and also the positions. And we are having a meeting in the, before the end of July, where we will be getting the report. And based on that, when the board agrees and approves, then the CEO will have the approval from the board to go out and recruit those positions. Thank you very much. From our side, if there are any questions that we did not address, apologies, and we would like to be reminded of those questions, and we'll do so. There are some questions which we are not at the liberty of responding to because we have our shareholder who is responsible to respond to those questions. May I request the shareholder to take those questions which are directed to perhaps over to you, DDG Mandisa. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
It's me supposed to call DDG. Now we are taking
apologies.
Mandy?
Thanks, Chairperson. I saw that coming. So,
you know that I don't play with power.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think there are two questions in the main. The one that is talking about our relationship with the Department of Education and the municipalities regarding the libraries. Yes, we do have discussions and working relationship with the Department of Education. Actually, right now, we are finalizing an MOU with them. The provinces as well in our relationship with them that transcends to the common areas of our work. They also give support to the libraries. But let me not get in detail on that one, Chairperson, because I do want a crisp detail to be given through Mr. Gegan. And then the other one is on the budget in terms of that municipal the grant that is for leases and utilities. This Chairperson is something that as the department we are working hard to say how do we assist the entities. It's not unique to this entity. there are other entities where there is a challenge in terms of keeping up with this bill for municipal charges. There was an arrangement at some time that said this expenses devolved to the entities, but they kept on saying the rising costs they are not able to meet with. The previous year, we had hoped that based on some savings here resulting on COVID and maybe not using our facilities extensively, there could be some savings and then they will be able to take care of that expense from their budget. However, we've realized that they did have a shortfall and they had to use the funds to supplement that. Hence, in 2022-23, members will see that there seems to be some kind of increase in that allocation, because as we finalized the budgets and we were engaging with the entities that have this challenge, we had to go back to Treasury and request some kind of increase in allocation in this area, just to compensate as well for what they could have extended out of their pocket from other programs, just to be able to keep the bill or just to secure the commitment of payment they had made for this bill, for where the full amount due for the year was not paid to the municipality. Chairperson, I am just providing a background to this. It's something that is not a full-closed issue. Actually, I remember when we were dealing with this National Library, actually wanted about 17 million just to clear off this kind of related legacy debts. But bit by bit, we are doing our best. As I said, we tried at least to give more, about 6 million in this financial year. So basically, those are the difficult to budget for as well expenses, as we all know how municipal charges come to us. I always say at home, if there is one account, I don't know what I'm paying for. It's the one to the municipality. Thanks, Chairperson, members. But if Chairperson allows me the details on these relationships I mentioned with regard to the libraries, Mr. Kegana can follow me.
Yes, yes. Honorable members, it's not nice to put Chairperson as I'm chairing, others are talking to me. Members of honorable members, I don't see any other follow-up hands. Mine now is to say, let me take this opportunity to thank honorable members that in the platform, their engagement with the presentations, which the presentations were with us in time. And that's what we want. We need to tell you, if your presentations are not in time, this committee doesn't take you serious, and thinking that you don't take the committee serious, and they will won't allow you to present. So let me appreciate the good work you are saying. You are a new from the box. I'm taking this opportunity, the Mandi presenting the department. If this NLSA can be with you, with some other board members, that they must know how to work and their relationship between themselves and the department does make the work to be smooth like this. We read this presentation, and also when the presentation is presented, we are appreciating to see that any problems, cases, accusations, you are working together. You refer to themselves. They do come back to you. Some entities here, you could serve as a department. You will see things in the media. We'll see things in the media. But this is a good example, and you are exemplary to us as this committee, because sometimes we get now to be bogged in the media issues rather than getting the information from a horse's mouth or from the department and from your good selves reporting to the department, but which means department still have a long way to go to, if it means you need to do the workshop of all of your entities. I once proposed that on behalf of this committee, if honorable members, you still remember, because of the gaps that sometimes we see, and now those gaps, they do make that every now and then as a committee through the chairperson, you get these email, you get these letters, because we are not briefed, because sometimes the department is not briefed, but some entities just prefer to just go to the air. And people who are in the media, they are making themselves to be vocal. And now, as a committee, they will think that we don't do anything. I do appreciate. And by this, now we can release NLSA, keeping up the good work, can release your department, keeping your role, your oversight to your entities. This one, I am suspecting every member is happy. The presentation saying that we ask them, they did come to us. We refer back to them. That's good. That's excellent. You are released from this platform now.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We'll do our best to keep the good record.
Yes. Thank you. Please, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the honorable members, and thank you to the department too.
Thank you. Honorable members, Thabo, you've seen that today my iPad and my phone were having problems. Do we have minutes?
Good day, Chair. No, Chairperson, we've adopted the minutes on Friday. So we've only left with Fridays and today's minutes, Chair. We should adopt next week.
Can I take this opportunity to thank you, honorable members, to thank the staff of this committee and everyone who is here. I've seen Smongile, that you are here. I've seen PMG. So when I'm saying staff, I'll always make sure that you must not be mistaken. We do include you always. This meeting is adjourned. I thank you, honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Take care, Mr. Madlingosi.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You go to Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. It was nice. There were no point of orders, no point of corrections. Thank you.
Marwe, not too.
Let's